Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
Live from a bunker in the heart of the Ozarks, a podcast that ain't afraid of no votes. It's Sif Pop. Welcome to Sif Pop, available in your podcast feed every Monday, unless, of course, you get it early as a patron, because patrons get those perks. I'm your host, Aaron Dicer, and today is the annual Critics' Choice Ballot episode. That's right. Today is the day that I sit in front of a microphone as I actually cast my votes in the Critics' Choice Awards, and you can kind of get a little insight into my thinking about how I choose what I choose. I think this is important. I joke around about not being afraid of no votes, but I do think sometimes people are afraid to talk about how they vote. No, I'm not getting political here. I do mean in awards situations, but it also applies to political situations as well, where it's like we're afraid to even have the conversation because we are afraid somebody's going to tear it apart or whatever. And I don't know. I think there's something really positive about being transparent with that stuff. So I'm going to be transparent. I'm going to actually, in real time, do my Critics' Choice ballot for you. Now, the Critics' Choice Awards is coming up soon. In fact, as you're hearing this, probably less than a week away, it will be on Sunday the 12th, and it will be live on E, if you get the E Entertainment Network. It will be showing live on E. I believe it starts at 7 Eastern, possibly 8 Eastern. I can't remember. It's usually right around, 5 o'clock on the West Coast when things really get swinging. So, look for the times, but it'll be on E live. And then it's on Peacock after that. It will be streaming on Peacock. So if you miss the live show, which I would encourage you to watch because it's a lot of fun, then you can check it out the next day on Peacock as well. So that's what's happening with the awards this year. No big changes as far as what we're voting for. Pretty much the same categories. We'll go through all of them here on this episode. And then one other thing. There is a very special important message that I need to deliver at the end of this podcast. Please don't go away before you hear that. That will be happening after we go through the ballot. So I wanted to make sure and let you know about that. All right, let's get into this. I will go from the bottom of the ballot to the top. So we'll end with Best Picture. I think it's also important to let you know I haven't pre-selected things and in them going off some sort of cheat sheet and voting. I am actually pondering these things live with you. Now, clearly, I know the nominations. I participated in the nominations. I sent my own choices for nominations, but I haven't pre-gone through these nominations thinking of specifically what I'm going to vote for until this moment. So welcome to some rambling. It's about to happen. All right, let's kick it off with Best Score. This is an interesting one because I think there is a pretty obvious answer for me. Here are the nominees. Volker Bertelmann, Conclave, Daniel Bloomberg, The Brutalist, Chris Brouwers, The Wild Robot, Clement Ducol and Camille for Amelia Perez, Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross for Challengers, and Hans Zimmer for Dune Part 2. That's actually a great list. I wouldn't feel bad about any of those. I didn't think the Amelia Perez score was necessarily the best part about it, and I thought Wild Robot was fine, but it didn't stand out to me as something that I'm going to go back to, like scores like Inside Out or How to Train Your Dragon, you know, those kind of scores that just land in your soul. But the others are all really, really good. I think the obvious answer here is Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross for Challengers. That score is so key to why that movie, in my opinion, works and why you feel the things you feel during that movie. However, I think the same could be said about Volker, Bartleman, and Conclave. I think it has to be one of those two. This really is one of those votes for me that comes down to the one that I'm pretty sure is going to win, and I also think possibly should win, and the other one that might be a tad better, maybe? Is Conclave better, or is it just that I've seen that movie more recently than Challengers? I'm going to follow my heart here. I'm going with Conclave. That will not win. I believe Challengers will win, and that's great, but I think Conclave is the better score. So there you go. Vote for best scores in Volker, Bertelmann, Conclave. All right, best song. Now, this is where Emilia Perez, I think, would have more to say. Both El Mal and Mi Camino were nominated, so it had two nominees. Compress Repress from Challengers was nominated. Beautiful That Way from The Last Showgirl, which is Miley Cyrus, I think, and is a great song. Kiss the Sky, The Wild Robot. That was fine. Maren Morris. I am going to go with the one I haven't said, though, and this isn't even a hard pick for me. Harper and Will Go West from Will and Harper, the song that Kristen Wiig wrote, and I think part of that math is in how crucial that song is to the goings-on of that movie and how clever it is and how fun it is and how perfect it is. If I weren't to go with that, I'd probably go with something from Emilia Perez. Mi Camino was definitely in my nominations along with Harper and Will Go West. But yeah, Harper and Will Go West is my choice for best song. Will that win? I don't know. I kind of feel like it has a chance. Doesn't it have a chance? I don't know. It'll probably be one of the Emilia Perez songs. We'll see. Best foreign language film. This is an interesting one because there is a foreign language film on here that is just an animated movie with no real dialogue. I've never really seen this before. Because is silence a foreign language? I don't know. Let's go through it. The one I'm talking about is Flow. This is the animated film about the cat. It was produced by a non-American company, but is it a foreign language film? I don't know. All We Imagine is Light is great. Kneecap is great. Seed of the Sacred Fig is great. I think the one that most people will assume will win because it's nominated for Best Picture is Emilia Perez. It is also good to great. But my favorite foreign language film is I'm Still Here. I like it more than Emilia Perez. Emilia Perez didn't hit me the same way it hit everybody else this year. I shouldn't say everybody else, but a lot of people this year. So yeah, I'm voting for I'm Still Here. If you haven't checked that out, it is an incredible story of what can happen in certain types of cultures and when fascism is kind of given into. So, yeah, I'm Still Here is really good. Loved it. Let's vote for it. I feel like I've got like a really counterintuitive ballot so far, but I guess that's me. Best comedy. I've talked about this category, Critics' Choice, many, many times. Because I think we do the best job at understanding what this category is for. It is not best movie that you also might laugh at a bunch. It is not best movie that could be in the comedy section of, you know, your streaming service. It is best comedy. And that means something to me. Listen to these nominees. I love these nominees. Thelma, that's a comedy. Saturday Night, okay, that's a little bit of prestige bait, but it is a comedy. My Old Ass, definitely a comedy. That is a straight-up comedy. Hitman, straight-up comedy. Deadpool and Wolverine, straight-up comedy. And then A Real Pain, I think, is the main one that I look at and go, okay, I get what you're doing there, but that's a best movie that made me laugh some kind of nomination. So clearly I won't be voting for A Real Pain or Saturday Night. They have plenty of other places where, well, actually Saturday Night doesn't have plenty of other places where it could win. So you may see a Saturday Night pull this off. I'm not sure. But for me, it really comes down to between My Old Ass and Thelma. I love Deadpool and Wolverine. I thought Hitman was good. But those two were on another level and are comedies. And I'm going with Thelma. I think Thelma is the best comedy of the year. And if you haven't seen it, you should, because it's hilarious and it's great and it's moving. And it is the definition of the kind of movie, in my opinion, that should win Best Comedy. So Thelma will be my vote for Best Comedy. I believe I am 0-4 with things that will actually win so far. But don't tell anybody. See, this is why people don't go public with their votes. Best Animated Feature. What a year. Flow, Inside Out 2, Memoir of a Snail, Wallace and Gromit, Vengeance Most Foul, and The Wild Robot. Most people seem to think this is a battle between The Wild Robot and Inside Out 2, and I kind of feel like The Wild Robot is the one that most people are going to be voting for. That probably will win. If you've listened to my reviews of these movies, well, you probably haven't heard me talk about Wallace and Gromit, Vengeance Most Foul. I think it's phenomenal. I love it. It's really, really good. It is a very worthy follow-up to The Wrong Trousers, and I love it. Memoir of a Snail was poignant and interesting and the kind of animated movie we need to see more of, but I didn't like it as much as the others. And Flow, as I mentioned before, is a movie about a cat in a flood, and there's not a lot of dialogue. And I thought it was beautiful and interesting, but again, not in my top movies of the year. Yeah, so for me, it really is Inside Out 2. I am blown away by that movie. I've seen it several times, and every time it absolutely floors me with how evolved that movie became. The way they chose to evolve the Riley character through adolescence, I just thought it was beautiful and interesting, and the way they evolved the world of how the sense of self works. I didn't think they could do that same kind of metaphorical thing that they did in the first one, but they somehow managed to pull it off. And the way it gives us language to talk about our innermost self it's a miracle. Inside Out 2 is a miracle. And I'm voting for it for Best Animated Feature. It also probably won't win. So we're just on a streak. I wonder if I'll vote for anything that will win. We shall find out on Sunday. Best Visual Effects. This is Gladiator 2, Wicked, Dune Part 2, Better Man, The Substance, or Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Man, as you look at this, there's some great visual effects in these things. My eyes immediately gravitate towards Better Man and The Substance because they're doing a little bit different things than the others. Some of the stuff Dune Part 2 is doing and Wicked is doing and Gladiator 2 is doing are great, but seem fairly typical for big budget movies. Same with Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. But the stuff The Substance and Better Man are doing are not only unique, but story-based. And yeah, I'm going with The Substance, guys. I'm voting for The Substance for Best Visual Effects. I think that is, for me, the movie that best encapsulates clever, interesting, complex visual effects that impact the story in a real way. Best Hair and Makeup, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Dune Part 2, The Substance, Wicked, Nosferatu, or A Different Man. Again, my eye navigates towards A Different Man. Nosferatu certainly deserves big consideration in this category. I was not a fan of that movie at all, but that does not mean that it should be disregarded in the category itself. I don't think I'd go with The Substance here for hair and makeup. Dune Part 2 seems pretty typical to me. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, get that choice for the nomination as well. Yeah, this is either going to be Nosferatu or A Different Man. And honestly, the work on A Different Man is so interesting in the makeup department and so well executed, that's going to get my vote. Best hair and makeup goes, for me, to A Different Man. Not me. A Different Man. On to Best Costume Design, Conclave, Nosferatu, Maria, which we haven't heard anything about so far. It's the Angelina Jolie biopic. Wicked, Doom Part 2, or Gladiator 2. I'm going to say that I think, again, Nosferatu deserves a really serious look in this. The stuff in Conclave is amazing. The stuff in Maria is amazing. Stuff in Doom Part 2 and Gladiator 2. But this is Wicked or Nosferatu for me. The reason I pull Wicked out from those others is the costuming that's going on here has a different job to do in the movie. It's doing something different than in these other movies, in that it's living up to a pre-existing world, but it's also finding ways to integrate into that world. I even think of like the background actors and the school uniforms. There's some really interesting choices with those uniforms. Whereas you look at Conclave and you go, okay, yes, beautiful work, amazing work, but you have years and years of things to look at and copy, right? So there's an element of that that doesn't negate the fact that you can give something best costuming just for being amazing costume creation, even if it comes from sources. But Wicked is a little bit different, and I really, really think the breadth of costuming choices in Wicked give it the win. So there you go. Wicked will be my choice for best costume. Best editing: Anora, Challengers, Conclave, The Brutalist, Dune Part 2, or September 5. Interesting choices. September 5 in here. We haven't heard from that yet, and it won't get my pick here. But I do get it. There's some really good editing that's going on there. Dune Part 2 and Dune Part 2 feels like, I don't know, it feels like an also-ran in this category. I get it. The editing's great. But it doesn't really define the movie for me. Conclave defines the movie for me a little bit more, but not as much as the other three. Anora, Challengers, and The Brutalist are probably the top three. Anora's probably number three for me. This really comes down to Challengers and The Brutalist. The editing in The Brutalist is exquisite, honestly. The way it plays with the cuts and where we're moving and how long we stay places, and it is, to me, the best example of how to use editing to emphasize tone. But Challengers also does that, but maybe not to the extent of The Brutalist. I'm going with The Brutalist for best editing. Best production design: The Brutalist, Wicked, Conclave, Nosferatu, Gladiator 2, Doom Part 2. I could have a very similar conversation with this in costume design. I'm not saying they're the same thing. I'm just saying the same factors play in here for me. The same reasons I picked Wicked for costume design are the same reasons I'm picking Wicked for production design. And that, again, is the way that it builds into an existing world and creates something completely new, not just in the costuming, but in how it looks from, you know, the buildings to the furniture to the set choices, just overall the production design on Wicked is top notch. Best cinematography: Nosferatu, Wicked, The Brutalist, Conclave, Dune Part 2, and Nickel Boys. Haven't talked about Nickel Boys yet. It's amazing. I love it so much. And it has amazing cinematography, and I'm so glad it got nominated because I had tried to nominate it in my own nominations. It is deserving of this. I think everyone in here you could look at and go, yeah, totally get it why it's cinematography, but I'm going to eliminate a couple. I'm going to eliminate Nosferatu. I'm going to eliminate Doom Part 2, and I'm going to eliminate Wicked, pretty much for the same reason, which is amazing cinematography, but there's nothing about it that taps it up to that next level for me. The cinematography on The Brutalist is astounding. The cinematography on Conclave is astounding. And the cinematography on Nickel Boys is astounding. Do they have three-sided coins? Like, this is a three-way coin flip for me. All right. What would distinguish these movies? I think for me, what the Nickel Boys does with perspective and the way it integrates cinematography into perspective gives it the advantage there. Best cinematography is Nickel Boys. according to me. All right, we're into the adapted screenplay categories. Thank you for sticking around this long. Much appreciated. Best adapted screenplay, Emilia Perez, Wicked, Sing Sing, Nickel Boys, Conclave, Dune Part 2. Our first look at Sing Sing in a category. And I do love that screenplay. The Nickel Boys screenplay is amazing. When I think about screenplay, this is a me thing. Everybody gets to understand screenplay, prioritize it in their own way. I prioritize dialogue and language in screenplay. And I know that there are other factors in screenplay, but this is who I am. I notice when a script or a screenplay is written in a way that is, in my mind, clever or unique or interesting. Well-used words. I am a word guy. I love the idea of these words as tools that meet a specific purpose and can, you know, do the work of communication in this really real way. And honestly, there's one of those six that stands out to me in that way. And it's Conclave. I think Conclave is the best screenplay in that sense of the six of them. And honestly, if I were to go for second, it'd probably be Wicked. Wicked does this really well, too. It's very smart in how it constructs the screenplay. But it's also more directly adapted from something that has dialogue in it. So there's a little bit of level of difficulty difference, in my opinion, between those two. I'm going with Conclave. Peter Strawn, screenplay for Conclave. I think that's the best adapted screenplay of the year. Best original screenplay, Anora, Sean Baker, September 5, Moritz Binder, Tim Felbaum, and Alex David, The Brutalist, Mona Fassvold and Brady Corbett, A Real Pain, Jesse Eisenberg, The Substance, Coralie Farguet, and Challengers, Justin Kuritskis. Maybe. Those are the choices. And as mentioned in adapted screenplay, I like to look for cleverness and the ability to create with words. Anora stands out in that way. A Real Pain stands out in that way. And Challengers, to a lesser degree than those two, stand out in that way. The other three feel like they're very good at other aspects of screenplay, overall construction, overall rhythm, structure, those kind of things. But the thing that stands out to me the most is probably Anora or A Real Pain, Jesse Eisenberg. Man, which is a better screenplay of those two? I think Anora is the better screenplay. And granted, I didn't love this movie as much as everybody else, but that screenplay is undeniably clever and funny. This is one of those movies that I almost expected to see in Best Comedy and was glad it wasn't there, because it's the kind of movie I'd rather not be there. But this movie's funny. I'm going to go with Anora. Sean Baker for Best Original Screenplay. All right, we're down to the big ones. We've got the acting categories, Best Picture, and then we will start with Best Director. Best Director, Emilia Perez, that's Jacques Audiard, Anora, Sean Baker, Conclave, Edvard Berger, The Brutalist, Brady Corbett, Wicked, John M. Chu, The Substance, Coralie Farguet, Nickel Boys, Ramel Ross, and Denis Villeneuve, Dune Part 2. This gets a little complex. I think it's really important when you're doing these kind of things to separate, at least understand your bias towards certain names. Denis Villeneuve, I have a bias. I love the movies he's made. I understand how his direction directly impacts how good a movie is. John M. Chu, I have an understanding of how he makes movies and how that impacts things. Edvard Berger, with his Zone of Interest last year, like, oh, I can see kind of how he does that. And then, you know, Sean Baker, I have almost an anti-bias. Like, I haven't really enjoyed his movies as much as other people have. So, like, being aware of those things and then aware how the Emilia Perez director, Jacques Audiard, and Coralie for The Substance, and Ramel for Nickel Boys, and Brady for The Brutalist, that I'm not as zoned into any kind of bias with them. All that stuff is really important for me to at least be aware of as I'm making my choice, because I want to be as fair as possible with the category. Like, who is actually doing the work to direct a movie that makes it great? Because honestly, if it's just who made the best movie, well, then best picture and best director should be the same every single time. And I don't know that that's the case. So there is a level of what are they doing with the material? What are they doing with the overall shooting of this movie, the choices that they're making? I think in this case, I think Denis Villeneuve is the best director. I think he's taking material that is IP, could just be run-of-the-mill sci-fi material, and he is elevating it with his direct choices. I think many of the others are great movies because of other things that are happening. You know, the Nickel Boys script, the Substance script in Audacity, Wicked, the music, and those kind of things. Although that is also can be a directing thing. So yeah, the only other argument I would have is maybe Edvard Berger or Brady Corbett. Those movies are so well constructed, in my opinion, and put together that they might give a little bit of a battle here, but no, I'm going with Denis. I think Denis is the correct answer this year for Dune Part 2. Best Acting Ensemble. Anora, Conclave, Amelia Perez, Saturday Night, Sing Sing, Wicked. Not even close for me. This is Saturday Night. This Saturday Night was made for this category. Incredible acting ensemble for doing what they are doing. Shout out to everybody's ensemble cast. I get that Conclave has a lot of amazing performances going on. I get that Sing Sing has a really heartfelt thing going on with its acting ensemble, with it being many members of the incarcerated group that was doing these plays that we see in Sing Sing. Like, I get all that. Wicked is really it's not a two-hander. I get there's more than people, but Wicked is the kind of movie that I go, okay, I get it. Wicked's great, and there are certainly actors in the movie. Every movie has actors, but this is a two-hander. This is Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande. That's what Wicked is when you boil it down to. And that's not diminishing anybody else's work, anybody else's performance, but their performances aren't on the importance level of those two performances. Whereas Saturday Night, there are a dozen performances that are important and on the level of every other performance. And that to me is what this category is about. So Saturday Night is Best Acting Ensemble. Another category I'm glad we still do, Best Young Actor or Actress. This is 18 and under when they were filming. The nominees are Alia Brown from Furiosa, Elliot Heffernan from Blitz, Maisie Stella from My Old Ass, Isaac Wang from Dee Dee, Alicia Weir from Abigail, and Zoe Ziegler from Janet Planet. I don't think this is close. Again, shout out to all those other amazing performances, but this is Maisie Stella's, in my opinion, the things that she's doing in My Old Ass just kind of elevate above all these, except for maybe Isaac Wang. As the only one, like, I would hear an argument, like, okay, he carries that movie with some really powerful things that he has to do. I'm almost convincing myself to vote for Isaac Wang here. Which is the better performance, Maisie or Isaac? I really, as I look at the others, great performances, not on the same level as these two. Is that Isaac Wang performance better than the Maisie Stella performance? I think it has to do more. Maisie has to do a lot. Yeah, I think I just talked myself into Isaac Wang, guys. This is what it's about. This is the work of actually picking these. Yeah, I think that's the best young actor, actress performance. Isaac Wang and Dee Dee. Vote cast. There you go. That surprises me. I thought for sure I would pick Maisie in this. And I think she will probably win. But man, pondering it, I think that Isaac Wang performance is better or deserves the award.
Zaxby's Sensation Salad is so much more than a plain old salad. It's a salad, which begs the question, at what point does a salad stop being a salad and become a salad? Is it when you add Zaxby's fried chicken to it? Crunchy wontons? Asian slaw? Citrus vinaigrette? Teriyaki glaze? Sweet and spicy sauce? Or is it when you top it all with a handmade perfectly fried egg roll? Without a doubt, the egg roll. The Sensation Salad, only at Zaxby's.
All right, here we go. Best Supporting Actress. Daniel Deadwyler, amazing in The Piano Lesson. Anjanou Ellis-Taylor, amazing in Nickel Boys. Ariana Grande, amazing in Wicked. Margot Qualley, amazing in The Substance. And Isabel Rossellini, I guess amazing in Conclave for a few minutes. Certainly. Okay, I'm sure. Zoe Saldana, amazing in Emilia Perez. So clearly I'm not voting Isabella Rossellini. Look, she was fine. She was great. That movie in many ways is kind of the heart of communicating what that movie about, what that movie is about when the movie hasn't revealed what it's about yet, if that makes sense. So I get it. I get the inclusion. There's just not enough there for me. Margot Qualley is great, but I think it's the material that elevates that. Zoe Saldana, I think the material elevates that. Daniel Deadwyler, Anjanou Ellis, or Ariana Grande. I'll tell you, I'm leaning towards Ariana Grande. I just, that Wicked performance is, that's a lot to ask. To take on, you know, something that has been done, you know, Kristen Chenoweth did so perfectly. And of course, Ariana is a bit of a chameleon. So, you know, we've heard her imitate other musical artists, those kind of things. And she kind of does an imitation of Chenoweth for this role, but it's so perfect. But man, I feel like the heavier work is being done in those others. I think Anjanou Ellis-Taylor. Honestly, I think that's the answer. I think that Nickel Boy's performance is nuanced and beautiful and the definition of supporting. It's a supporting role to what's going on with the main characters there. Whereas Ariana Grande kind of feels like a lead role, honestly. I just mentioned it was a two-hander. Yeah, I think I have to go with Anjanou. And I'm not mad about that at all. Nickel Boys is incredible, and she's incredible in it. My vote is for Anjanou Ellis-Taylor in Best Supporting Actress. Best Supporting Actor. Yura Borisov, great performance in Anora. Kieran Culkin, great performance in A Real Pain. Clarence Macklin in Sing Sing. Edward Norton, who I loved in A Complete Unknown, love this nomination. Guy Pearce in The Brutalist is a decent nomination. And Denzel Washington in Gladiator 2 honestly outperforms them all. He's doing such fun, interesting work there that he basically saves that movie from being just a fun romp to a fun romp with a little bit of oomph to it. So yeah, I think Denzel's performance is the best here. Let me really consider Denzel versus Yura and Kieran and Edward, because honestly, Edward might be my number two, Yura my number three, and Kieran my number four, which is interesting because I think a lot of people are going for Kieran Culkin. And I love that performance. I just don't think it's up to the level of these others. But Denzel, yeah, Denzel is the choice here for Best Supporting Actor for Gladiator 2. Best Actress. We are now to Actress and Actor, which maybe someday, maybe Critics' Choice will lead the way in degendering acting categories. But it is a big evolution and one you have to figure out some real interesting things on. I'm not saying it's a moral choice. I don't think it's immoral to have them separated by biological sex. But they're not separated by biological sex. They're separated by gender. And gender is one of those things that the culture is deep in a conversation about and is something that is impacted by culture and what we understand gender to mean. It is a construct. So yeah, it becomes an interesting conversation to have them separated. And honestly, if they are separated, there should be a best actress, and then best actor should include anyone. If that makes sense. And that's because, again, I'm getting into my own kind of, I guess you would call it political. I hate to think of it as political, but ideas of what it, why there are separate categories. Like, why is there a best young actor, actress category? It's to emphasize something that doesn't get emphasized enough. So it's the same reason there would be a best actress category or a best person of color category or whatever it might be to emphasize that. Now, Critics' Choice does entire award shows to emphasize those kinds of things, but not one for women. So, yeah. Anyways, lots of thoughts and discussion that can happen there. But for now, I will deal with what I have in front of me. Best actress, Cynthia Erivo Wicked, Carla Sofia Gascon, Amelia Perez, Marine Jean-Baptiste, Hard Truths, Angelina Jolie, Maria, Mikey Madison, Anora, and Demi Moore, The Substance. I have a clear winner in this, but I'm going to talk you through it. Just so, again, maybe my mind will change. I think Carla Sofia Gascon is amazing in Amelia Perez. She was an incredible performance. Cynthia Erivo, astonishing and Wicked. I have no problem with her as a choice. Angelina Jolie, I think, is an also-ran. Honestly, that performs great, but I don't think it lives up to the others. Mikey Madison, I actually feel the same, although I think some people would elevate her performance even higher in Anora. And Demi Moore, I feel the same, is kind of an also-ran in this category, as good as that performance is. Again, when I say that, please understand, these are amazing performances just compared to some of these others. They don't add up. And the other specifically is Marianne Jean-Baptiste in Hard Truths. Maybe the best performance I saw all year. If there was a unified best actor category, she might get my vote. Honestly. I mean, I'd have to do the work of looking through the other performances, males, females alike, supporting main alike. But if there was an overall best actor performance, which, by the way, there is with Sif Pop. So you will hear this when we get to the Sifties. But yeah, that Marianne Jean-Baptiste performance in Hard Truths absolutely destroyed me. And it's so hard. That's such a hard thing to communicate, what she communicated in that movie. I was thoroughly impressed. So that is my vote for best actress. Best actor, Adrien Brody, The Brutalist, Timothy Chalamet, A Complete Unknown, Daniel Craig, Queer, Coleman Domingo, Sing Sing, Ralph Fiennes, Conclave, Hugh Grant, Heretic. Boy, oh boy, do I have some favorites in this category. It's not Adrien Brody. I think that is a fine performance, but the movie itself is the attraction there. Timothy Chalamet is doing an incredible performance in A Complete Unknown, and any other year might be in the conversation, but he isn't for me. Daniel Craig in Queer is amazing, but again, kind of an also-ran in this category, in my opinion. Coleman Domingo for Sing Sing, he's so good in this movie, and if it weren't for a couple other amazing performances, I think I would vote for Coleman, but the final two I'm going to mention, they're the ones battling it out. Ralph Fiennes in Conclave is astonishing. If you just watched Conclave and were like, oh, that's a good movie, watch it a second time for a couple reasons. There's information, there's new information you will have that watching a second time makes it even more full. The movie feels even more complete when you watch it a second time. And also pay specific attention to the things Ralph Fiennes is doing in these scenes, the subtle underneath, under the surface work he's doing with emotions as he is confronting people or confronting his own processing of the situation. It is brilliant work, brilliant work. And then there's Hugh Grant in Heretic, who is so good. And honestly, all three of those characters, I would love to have seen. In fact, maybe that, even though there's only three of them, maybe that should have been a best ensemble. But Hugh Grant is so good in Heretic. It's such a perfect performance. He imitates Jar Jar Binks in this performance. I mean, did anybody else imitate Jar Jar Binks this year? No, nobody else did. But he did. He wasn't afraid. I love that Hugh Grant performance, but I'm going with Rafe. That Conclave performance is so good, and it is my best actor performance. All right, well, best picture, Complete Unknown, Anora, The Brutalist, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Amelia Perez, Nickel Boy, Sing Sing, The Substance, and Wicked. Here we go. So let's eliminate some. I'm not going to vote for The Substance for Best Picture. I'm not going to vote for Sing Sing for Best Picture. They're both fine. They're both great. I'm glad they exist. I'm glad they got nominated. But they don't rise to the level of these others. Emilia Perez, not going to vote for that one. The Brutalist, pretty amazing stuff, but I don't think it rises to the level of these others. Same with Anora. I'd put Anora and The Brutalist in that same category of really technically great work that just didn't move me or uniquely impact me on the level that it takes for me to say that's the best movie of the year. So they're out, and A Complete Unknown, same thing, is out. So that leaves us with Dune Part 2, Conclave, and Nickel Boys, and Wicked. Those are the four competing for me for Best Picture of the Year. Wicked is just an incredible achievement. I don't think I felt any more euphoria this year than I felt while watching Wicked. It was the most euphoric movie watching experience of the year. That's not what we're asking here. We're asking Best Picture. So I'm going to call that number four. Number three. I'm going to call number three Nickel Boys. Just barely number three. I think Nickel Boys is possibly the most artistically valid, that's probably the wrong way to say it, artistically intricate movie of the year for me. I loved what this movie was doing with perspective. It wasn't just a gimmick. It was story related. And man, I found that to be really moving and powerful. Nickel Boys is a great film, but I'm calling it number three. That leaves Dune Part 2 and Conclave for Best Picture, in my opinion. And number two, I think number two has to be Dune Part 2. I think it's just an incredible film that just didn't move me like Conclave did. Conclave, and I've seen it a few times now, is just that movie for me. It's just the movie that is technically astute. It is the movie that has something interesting to say, something that you're going to chew on for. Like, you watch Dune Part 2, and the things you're chewing on are, oh, how cool was that? Or, oh, how intricate is this story? Or, how well realized are these characters? Or, how beautiful was that scene? But I don't ever feel with Dune Part 2, oh, man, I have to chew on this philosophical idea. I have to chew on what this means. Now part of the Conclave thing may be my background in church settings, you know, in the idea of what it means to lead in a spiritual sense, which is different than a religious sense. But when it's the Catholic religion, the religious part of it becomes so intertwined with the spiritual part of it that you know, there's this different thing going on. But Conclave, man, it made me think, it made me feel. There are moments of shock. There are moments of humor. Incredible performances all around. Feels fully realized. Yeah, Conclave is my vote for Best Picture. And there you go. My votes are in. And there's nothing I can do about it now. Best Picture, Conclave. Best Actor, Ralph Fiennes, Conclave. Best Actress, Marion Jean de Baptiste, Hard Truths. Best Supporting Actor, Denzel Washington, Gladiator 2. Best Supporting Actress, Anjanue Ellis-Taylor, Nickel Boys. Best Young Actor or Actress, Isaac Wong, Didi. Best Acting Ensemble, Saturday Night. Best Director, Denis Villeneuve, Dune Part 2. Best Original Screenplay, Sean Baker, Anora. Best Adapted Screenplay, Peter Strong, Conclave. Best Cinematography, Jomo Frey, Nickel Boys. Best Production Design, Nathan Crawley and Lee Sandilis for Wicked. Best Editing, David Junkso for The Brutalist. Best Costume Design, Paul Tazewell for Wicked. Best Hair and Makeup, Mike Marino, Sarah Grauman, Aaron Saucier for A Different Man. Best Visual Effects, Brian Jones, Shervin Shafagi, Pierre Oliver Persson, and Jean Miel. For The Substance, Best Animated Feature Inside Out 2, Best Comedy Thelma, Best Foreign Language Film I'm Still Here, Best Song Harper and Will Go West from Will and Harper, written by Kristen Wiig, and Best Score Volker Bartleman Conclave. All right, well, there are my Critics' Choice choices as a critic for this year. I said to stick around for an important announcement, so that is coming now. I will tell you, I've been processing this for a while, and I came into this recording promising myself that emotion would be a hindrance to communicating what I need to communicate. So I'm going to try to get through this without emotion coming through in any way that delays or distracts what we're doing. So if I feel a little matter of fact about these things, know that I've already processed them in many ways in my heart. I'm trying to just speak them to you so that you kind of understand what's in my heart, what I've processed as I've gone through this. I'll get to it. Okay, so here it is. I've decided that Sif Pop, as a weekly review podcast, will finish up with this year's live Oscars broadcast. So Sposkers in, I think, first week of March will be the final episode as Sif Pop exists now. I always said, let me give you a few reasons for this. I've always said in the history of the almost 13 years and 500 episodes of this podcast that as long as I felt engaged and activated by doing it, I would do it. That I wasn't doing it for any sort of audience number or any sort of financial gain. Really the only financial gain that Sif Pop has had through our amazing patrons is to be able to launch the website and to do those things and to keep it going. And it's all been very much appreciated, but it hasn't been any kind of income for me or over the 13 years. But that's fine because it felt engaging and activating in a way that I loved. And a few months ago, it stopped feeling that way. I stopped feeling activated by it. I stopped feeling engaged in wanting to do it. There started to creep in this little bit of dread when it was time to record or when it was time to plan or when it was time to, you know, figure it out. It wasn't extreme. It wasn't like, oh, I hate this. I don't want to do it. But it just started to creep in a few months ago. And I immediately knew I had to put my finger on why that was, what that feeling was and why I was feeling it. And initially I thought, you know what, maybe it's done. Initially I thought, I think maybe the podcast is just over and that would be okay. Life would go on. But as I thought about it more, I realized that what I was feeling was that what I was doing wasn't in a large, meaningful way having the impact that was activating me. So that's a terrible way to say that. Let me try to rephrase that. And by the way, I went back and forth about whether I should just write this out or just do it extemporaneous. I clearly landed on extemporaneous. So that may have been the right or wrong choice. You can decide that. But I may have to restate things and ponder my way through some things. But let me try to restate that in a different way. I realized that the podcast was, as one of my favorite Switchfoot songs says, is adding to the noise. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of places that people can go to hear people, usually white guys, talk about movies, right? I listen to several of them. And as I began to realize that I was duplicating work that was happening elsewhere. And I don't mean just that other people review movies. I mean, there are people with very similar opinions to mine that do this on a big scale. I could give you specific examples. I won't, but I could give you specific examples of pop culture commentators who I'm like, you know, when I listen to their opinions, I'm like, That's the exact same thing I said. And sometimes my podcast will be out before theirs. Sometimes theirs will be out before mine. And I always get annoyed when theirs is out before mine because I'm like, people are going to think that I stole that from you. I did not steal that from you. I don't listen to people before I do my recordings. But that started to make me realize that I'm not adding much in the way of specifically using who I am, what I believe, what I can do to bring something unique or interesting to the world. And that started to eat away at that engagement. That started to eat away at that desire to continue because, well, for one, if you know me, you know efficiency is like this bug in my brain, and I try to be extremely efficient with everything I do. Well, if I'm repeating work, that is about the most inefficient thing possible. I should be doing work that others don't do or that isn't as common. Because listen, in this big world, somebody's probably doing everything, right? But I should do something more specifically tuned into who I am, what I bring to the table, if there is anything, right? So yeah, so initially I was like, okay, maybe this is just over. And then as I was thinking about it more, I realized, no, it's not over. It just needs to drastically change. And so, because of that, that is what this announcement is. SIFPOP is kind of over. So, but it isn't. Don't unsubscribe. I guess that's the main thing I would say. Don't unsubscribe from the feed. There will be episodes in this feed. I do not believe we're giving up on some of the fun games we do. Summer Sum Games, Sifties, Sposkers. Most anticipated of the year, which you just heard for this last year. Like some of those things we'll still do. There may even be occasional pop in, hey, what about this month in movies? Let's just casually talk about it. I will tell you the feed is going to be a lot more casual in that way, where stuff will pop into it because I was like, I want to fire up the microphone because I want to talk about this or do this. That might happen. I don't think it's going to happen a lot right away. I do think I need a little bit of a breather from producing this content. So we'll see how that goes. But don't unsubscribe. This will be a landing place for those special episodes. It'll be a landing place for other projects I might be working on. I've got a project I've been working on with Jeremy Scott for a while called The Yellowwood, where we discuss movies in the light of our relationship to faith and how we grew up basically the same, but have gone different directions as far as holding on to our faith or releasing our faith. And we will use movies as a launching pad to talk about those things. I'm excited for that. I'm pumped about that. That's something I feel like I can offer to the conversation that isn't necessarily all over the place, which weekly, you know, movie review podcasts are. So look for that. That's going to, at least one of those episodes will pop up in here. Maybe all of them. I don't know. I haven't talked to Jeremy about it, but we'll see what happens there. Anytime I guest on another podcast, I will try to get permission to pop that in here. And speaking of which, if you know great podcasts that you listen to and would love to hear me on, let them know. I'd love to guest on stuff. And that makes it easy just to hop in, chat movies, do whatever, and then possibly put that here in the feed as well, if it's okay with whoever I'm guesting with, to promote it here too. So that kind of stuff is still going to be in the feed. And that is, it's important for me as sad's the wrong word, as emotionally fraught as this decision is, because 13 years and 500 episodes is a lot to do something, to give to, and then to completely change like this. I really do think it's an evolution, and I don't know what that will be. It is wild to me, and I guess I'll start to sum up here. It is wild to me that thousands of people apparently care enough to listen each week to the things I have to say about movies. And that in itself is humbling and beautiful and meaningful to me in a way that you will probably never understand. But I hope you will stick around to to see what the future looks like. And it may be very sporadic. And I think certainly initially it probably will be. But if I have things to say publicly, ways I can input into the public discourse that I think are valuable, I'm going to want to say them. And I just want you to know how much I love and appreciate you for caring enough to be involved in this dialogue and conversation and what we've done over the past 13 years. So thank you for that. Here's what you can do. Number one, stay subscribed. I already mentioned that. Number two, your support of SIFPOP at Patreon is always up to you. And I completely understand if the show evolving changes your desire to give to what goes on at SIFPOP. I will remind you that you're giving mostly supports the website, which is still going strong, still doing what it's doing. And that is sifpop.com. If you haven't checked that out, that is a lot of what the SIFPOP members are supporting. But I want you to know your support is always up to you on how you give to this endeavor, the SIFPOP endeavor. So totally understand that. I would also recommend subscribe to my Twitch, Aaron Dicer, on Twitch, because I have a feeling whatever the next stage is might be some casual streaming involved. That's just kind of flowing in my brain. So sub to Aaron Dicer on Twitch. Follow Dicer on Blue Sky. I'm just Dicer there. Because I got in early enough, I was like, hey, I'm just going to grab Dicer. And I did. So yeah, so follow Dicer on Blue Sky. And that's where I'm doing any kind of posting these days. Follow on Letterboxd if you want my specific movie opinions. I review every movie I see. I don't plan on stopping that. So that would be a place to have that conversation if you're still interested in what I think. And I will mention again, check out the amazing stuff going on at the website. Some incredible articles, reviews, fun best ever challenges, all kinds of fun stuff there at the website. I'm so appreciative of that community who keeps SIFPOP.com rolling. So check that out as well. That's how you can stay connected, how you can support. And by the way, again, this isn't happening until March. Couple more months here. And we'll have, I'm trying to plan on having some people we haven't heard from for a while on the feed to kind of have some closing thoughts of this, you know, iteration, to borrow a term from Heretic, this iteration of the SIFPOP podcast. And yeah, keep listening to the other podcasts on the network, SIFPOP Writers Room, all those kind of things are great places to hear a lot of this stuff and doing great work. And then we'll see where 2025 takes us. So there you go. That is the announcement. If you hear nothing else, hear my thank you that you even downloaded this episode and listened to it as if that was something important in your life to do. And I really, really do appreciate that. That's going to wrap it up for SIFPOP this week. Thanks so much for joining us. Huge thanks to producer Phil for producing the audio and video show. Really appreciate that. Again, much love and gratitude to our SIFPOP members for giving monthly to make SIFPOP a real thing. That support starts at $3 a month and gives you access to all sorts of fun stuff. You can check that out at patreon.com/SIFPOP. Lots of ways to connect with us, comments, ratings, reviews at Apple Podcasts. If you have any specific thoughts about this episode, feel free to email them to feedback@sifpop.com. I'm sure everybody would appreciate that. And finally, if you're having a good time, your movie loving friends will probably like the show too. So make sure you let them know about it and that listening is easier than doing today's podcast without shedding a tear. Love you all. And we will be back in a couple weeks with more reviews and thoughts on movies. See you then, guys.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.